So if you guys would stand now.
So you can stand with me this morning, and we'll start with reading the Christ hymn out of Colossians. If you could read along with me out loud. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Firstborn from the dead, that in everything might be preeminent. All fullness of God. Making peace by the blood of the cross. Who breaks the power? Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphans a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who makes the horn and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life so I could be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a failing love. You would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. continue to worship him this morning. What gift of grace? One gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I own, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, the night is dark, but I am not forsaken. By my side, the Savior, he will stand. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, his power is displayed. To this I own, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I own, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, and not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For he has said that he will bring me home. Day by day, I know he will renew me. Until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I own, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I own, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ. we just thank you for this time to worship you. We just ask that you will be with Stephen as he comes. God, speak through him this morning as we just continue to lift you up in this place. We ask your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. If you have your copy of God's Word, you can turn to Matthew. Hello, friends. I'm Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to welcome everyone. If you're new, if you're visiting from a long time ago, some family, Labor Day weekend, this is a blessing. We have friends that come back and visit, and new friends this morning. So if you're here visiting with us, we are glad that you took the time to get up and get here to engage with the Lord, with us. And we are now going to draw our attention to his word, where he has promised to speak to us. He's promised to sharpen us. He's promised to meet with us. And so as we move into this time, engage with the word, I want us to prayerfully posture ourselves to hear, that our ears would be open, Lord, that we would hear what you have for us, that you would speak to each person in this place right now, that you would comfort us, that you would guide us, that you would sharpen us, that you would correct us. God, do within this place, your people, whatever you will for your glory. And God, today, would you, if there are your not yet adopted sons and daughters in this place, by your grace, would you reveal the gospel to them? Would you show your presence to them and win them over today for your glory? In Christ's name, amen. So a couple weeks ago, the elder team got together. We have these days. We had an elder day where we prayerfully asked the Lord together in unity and hear from him and make some strategies about how we can advance in the worship and glory of God as a church. And one of the main, so I'm going to give you a little scoop of one of the things, one of the main things that we talked about is no surprise to most of you, but it's our continual commitment to being a gospel proclamation church, that we have experienced radical grace from God that we did not deserve. He stepped down. He became subject to the humanity that he created. He won us over by coming and entering into the world, dying in our place for our sins, and raising from the dead. Okay? That this is the good news that we believe, and we must, we want to continually become a church that is so familiar with and enjoying this good news. We want to be good news people, that good news is received and enjoyed, and that good news is delivered to a world that desperately needs good news. And so it was a reminder again as the elders we were talking that we want to be continually committed to the proclamation of the gospel. We want to be faithful with the truth of the gospel. We want to help, this is where we all come in, we want to help everybody that's a part of this family. We want to help everybody become confident in their personal gospel witness as God has transformed us, that we get to be a part. God has called us to join in the game of being gospel witnesses to the people that we know are far from the Lord. So it's our desire that everyone can share the faith that has so shaped our lives. And so this morning, briefly, we're going to look at two events in the life of a man named Simon Peter. This is so most of you know, we're going through Philippians. We're taking a break on that until Pastor David can come back. Pastor, I'm not the lead pastor here. For those of you visiting, we have a real pastor. He'll probably be back next week. So I am a real pastor. I'm sorry. I'm equipped. I'm qualified elder. I'm just not the lead pastor of this church. Okay, so we're going to look at two events in the life, two life-changing events that happened on this day and then happened again on this day with Simon Peter. And so as we look at these events, we're going to learn how to let the gospel shape us in such a way where we proclaim the gospel. Okay, so Matthew chapter 4, this is the beginning of a day. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says this: Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." So he gives them two clear things. They have a moment where the Son of God walks by their boat. The brothers look at Jesus. Jesus says, "Guys, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So two things we got to look at is follow me. What does that look like? Well, the Greek word in the New Testament explains and shows it is following is not just literally follow behind me. It is become a learner of me. Enroll in my seminary. Enroll in my classes. Be committed to the Messiah. Come under my leadership. Come under my teaching. Jesus is inviting them. The Son of God is inviting these normal fishermen, these like modern-day construction workers. God comes by and says, "I want you. I'm inviting you. Be a part of what I'm doing. Learn from me. Watch me. Live with me. Follow me." Now, what will that look like? We find out through their engagement through the New Testament that this literally means that these men are going to go where Jesus goes. They're going to walk in his path. They're going to learn his ways. They're going to find out what Jesus is like, what he believes most deeply in, how he lives, how he talks to people, how he listens to people, how he engages with God the Father. They're going to learn all these things. How? By following him, by learning of him, walking in his path, learning his ways. This is not just believing in Jesus' existence. Simon Peter could say, "Of course I believe in his existence. He's right here." But Jesus is inviting them to go farther than that, to trust in him. Then over the next few years, Simon Peter spends a lot of time with Jesus. He spends time listening to him, asking him questions, watching him, studying the Old Testament with him, listening to his words, becoming friends with Jesus, developing a trust in Jesus, developing his faith, a hope, a friendship. Jesus uses this call to Simon Peter to say, "Follow me." Those words mean so much. So Jesus is going to now transform Peter by allowing him to follow him. Okay? This is how Jesus works. This is his strategy. It has started then and has never stopped. This is how God chooses to rescue us. He pulls people off of their boats. He invites them, "Follow me." So even right now, all around the world, right now, some people that have never heard the gospel or have heard variations of the gospel, some people right now are hearing the good news of what God has done through Christ. They're hearing it. They listen to it, and the Lord says, "Follow me." They hear that, and the Lord says, Jesus says to them, "You can trust me. Give yourself over to me. Get off your boat and follow me. You can trust me." Right now, all around the world, people are hearing the gospel. Jesus is inviting them to follow him. And then that begins the process of God shaping them into his likeness. Jesus has used this strategy, and he still uses this strategy. He captures our heart. So, Christian, if you're here, you've been following Jesus, you had a Sea of Galilee kind of experience. At one time, you were not following the Lord, and the Lord, in his great grace, exposed you to the gospel, exposed you to the good news of what he has accomplished in Jesus. And Jesus, at that moment, for everyone who's a Christian, at that moment, Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. You can trust me. Believe in me. The invitation is extended. And so, that's the first. He says, follow me. And then he says, I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus shows us here with Peter that the call to follow him is the training ground for the work that he is calling Peter to be about. Okay? So what God is doing in our following of him is he's preparing the framework for the callings that he has for us. Okay, so we all want to fulfill God's calling on our life. God's calling on our life comes, we realize it, and we are equipped for it through the following of him, the enjoyment of him, going back to the relationship that we have, the friendship with him. Peter's not going to jump off the boat and go fulfill his calling. It is the following of Jesus that equips Peter to live the way that he's supposed to live, to become Christ-like. Only happens as we follow Christ. The following of Jesus is what produces. The following of Jesus will equip the called. So he says, here's what I'm going to do. And I can imagine these guys, they're fishermen. So they're like, no offense if any of you are fishermen, but they're fishermen, so it's like, this is probably not the cream of the crop, okay? This is probably not the most intelligent people in society. They're fishermen, okay? So I can imagine these men saying, Son of God comes by, which they had already met Jesus in the past. This was not their first encounter with Jesus, so they knew of him, but I can imagine them saying, okay, follow you. We'll give that a shot, but what are you talking about, Jesus? Fishers of men? I don't know what that means. That's a little odd, but they trust Jesus enough to at least say, I'm going to step off this boat and I'm going to follow you. Even though I may not know what becoming a fisher of men means, I know that following you will produce what it will take to live the life that God has for them. So here, Jesus gives these two men, these brothers, and now a couple other brothers, he gives them a whole new endeavor of life. This is a career change. So Jesus says, you don't know how to be a fisher of man, but don't worry, I'll teach you. While following Jesus, Peter learned how to catch people. Okay? So church, let's take a quick break here, okay? While following Jesus, we will learn how to help other people follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus, Jesus instructs us in his ways. And we learn on-the-job training how to do this. So some of you don't know, I got two 15-year-old boys. They're about to be 16 in a few days. A few weeks. And so they both, because of the pandemic, they couldn't get their driver's permit until later, so they just got it. But when they were taking their instruction or their driving stuff, the guy said, and I'm going to boast my boys a little bit, the guy said, the driver guy, he said, this is the best I've ever seen. Your boys know how to drive. Whatever you did with them, that is, you know, that's, guys like, wow, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. But I know what happened. When they were able to, I'm being recorded here, so I got to be careful. When they were able to touch the pedal, I let them drive. Not like when they were babies, but, you know, like as they got older, I knew the day was going to come when they were going to need to drive or pass a driving test. And I wanted to start them gradually early. Even this morning, I let my 13-year-old boy drive down the parking lot just so that he can learn. There's only so much you can learn by reading about driving. There's only so much you can learn by someone telling you how to drive. But when you actually get in the driver's seat, everything changes, okay? And you gradually, my boys gradually learned that. It was through that process that they became drivers, that they became okay drivers. Be careful out there, guys. It's wild. But this is Christ's strategy. Jesus is not going to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. He's going to tell a few people. He's going to equip a few people, and they will be the catchers of men. He's going to invite Peter to follow him so that Peter can invite more people in to follow Jesus. Jesus here, he's entrusting the good news of the kingdom to construction workers, to fishermen, to normal folks like us. Simple, normal people. He entrusts us. So first, we learn that helping people follow Jesus is born out of a personal following of Jesus. So, fishers of men, making disciples, calling people to follow Jesus, comes after we follow Jesus. So we must think, look at our lives and say, if we are not fishing for men, if we're not calling people to follow Jesus, if we're not proclaiming the good news of what God has accomplished through Jesus, we must look at our own life, look at our own following. Say, are we enjoying the kind of friendship with the Lord that is so potent that it compels us to let others know about the friend that we have in Jesus? Is something off with our following that is preventing us from helping others follow? So, not that day, but another day, Peter would eventually actually become a fisher of men. Okay? So Jesus fulfills his calling. He says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. He does that through the following, and then Peter actually becomes a fisher of men. He enrolled and he learned, and in Acts chapter 2, you can turn there, Acts chapter 2, we have a brilliant example of what this actually looks like, what it would eventually look like for Peter, and hopefully some of the ways that it could look like for us. Acts chapter 2, here's what happens, quick, before we jump in. Resurrected Jesus, comes back to his crew and says, don't do anything yet. You need help. The Spirit of the Lord is coming. The Helper is coming, and he will equip you in all things. Don't do anything until he comes. Well, then the Spirit of the Lord comes, descends on them, and unexplainable things happen. But they are filled with the Spirit. And as they were filled with the Spirit, they knew languages they didn't know before the Spirit came, okay? And God was doing this to get the gospel out to more languages, to more people that didn't know the good news of what Jesus had done. So as that happens, there's a whole group of religious people that were very confused. What is going on here? Okay? They would say, okay, these people are drunk. That was the number one thing. They look at the church and go, they got to be drunk. I mean, there's no excuse for this foolishness, okay? So the disciples know what's actually going on. They know what's actually going on. And chapter 2, verse 14 says this, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. It says, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Peter says, this is his first step in the proclamation of the gospel. He sees people that are unaware of something that's happening. And he says, I have to say something because I have something to say. I must do something here. He stands up and says, listen to me. He begins by saying, first of all, they're not drunk. Okay? They're not drunk. This was prophesied in Joel that this was going to happen. And then the actual act of him becoming a fisher of men rolls through. Look at verse 22 with me. This is what he says. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Here's what he did, though. God raised him up, loosening the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So, Peter says, here's a wonderful opportunity for these religious people to hear about what Jesus has actually accomplished. The Spirit of the Lord led Peter to step up and say what needed to be said. This is how he will catch men. Peter says, I must tell you about my friend. Peter's following compelled him to do this. This is still astonishing. Every time I read verses 22 through 24, I'm still astonished that God would do this. It is absolutely breathtaking that the Lord himself would enter into humanity, that God in his infinite foreknowledge and plan for the rescue of us, that it would take God dying in our place, and that he was willing to do this, and that we, instead of receiving him and praising him and worshiping him, instead we killed him. But we don't have the power to keep the Lord down, because our sinless Savior sacrificed himself on the cross. The Father vindicates his Son, loosening the pains of death and raising him. So that gospel transformed Peter's life. He got to see it, okay? He got to see it. Not like, so we're, some of us are watching The Chosen, okay? If you're watching The Chosen, some of us really love The Chosen. We get to get imagery of maybe what that kind of looked like. It's really good. Peter actually saw it live in person. He saw the gospel working itself out. And he is so compelled by this that he must deliver this. He must say this. And he's saying here, because this very well could have cost him his life, I don't care if this is a death sentence, I must tell you about what Jesus has done. Peter does what he's supposed to do. He waited on the Spirit. The Spirit comes. And then he let the Lord use him. He is witnessing. Says this was a God thing that has happened. It's a bold, Spirit-led Christian that says, no matter what this is going to cost me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be an instrument, a mouthpiece, and I have no power. As he's proclaiming this good news, Peter knew he's got no power to change these people's hearts. But what he can do is proclaim the God that can change their hearts. He gives a simple gospel message. Jesus came, he died, and he rose. This is it. This is not complex. You do not have to go to college for this. You do not have to go to seminary for this. You don't even have to dig deep in the Word to see this. It's very clear. God has accomplished this through Christ. And this simple, true gospel is the only way man can be saved from sin and wrath. It's the only way that man can be reconciled to the Father, by believing in the Son. That this gospel has the power to save, and nothing else does. And we see this because I love doing this, reading and seeing these stories, not only what they say, but also what they don't say. Peter, and I don't want to put this in a negative light, but Peter doesn't get up to these people and say, let me hang out with you for a year, and we're going to become friends, and eventually when I have an opportunity, when it's convenient for me, or when it falls into conversation, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Again, you should do that. We should do that. We should develop relationships with people. We should love people, love them, serve them, and get Christ, the message of Christ, to them. Peter takes a different approach here. In this moment, led by the Spirit, he gets up and says, I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to do this. Peter didn't step up and say, hey, I got a get out of hell free card. You don't want to go to hell, do you? No. Peter simply says, listen to what God has done. Listen to what God has done. One marvelous thing that Peter does that we can learn from is that he used the scripture to prove the work of Christ. He interprets the Old Testament to show these religious people. Peter is a student of the Word, a student of the Lord. He knew what he was saying. He knew what they believed. Peter, he got into their world and spoke their language. He applied Jesus as the answer to their problem. He knew who he was talking to, and he delivered the gospel message to them. He quoted King David. He quoted Joel. He used what they knew. He connected and explained the gospel by addressing the questions that they were asking. And so we must learn from this. We must know our not yet brothers and sisters, our long lost orphans. We must know them and love them to the point to know their concerns and see how Christ is the answer for their concerns. Bring hope to them. So in this, Peter preaches the gospel message, and then what happens? Verse 37 says this. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that gave boldness to Peter to proclaim the gospel, this Spirit takes the gospel and he makes it alive and receivable in the hearts of those who do not yet know him. He makes it believable for them. He gives them the faith to believe. The Spirit of God does this. And what that does is it cut them to the heart. So all of us who are here, you've been following Jesus. At some moment, the Spirit of God made himself known to you and cut your heart. Praise God, he cut your heart. This is how he works. He cuts our heart and allows our hearts to be exposed to just how wonderful the news of Christ is. So they say, what do we do? That's a normal, human response. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to get this? He simply says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Repentance is the way in. Follow up your repentance with the name of Jesus baptism. So he's saying this is a confession. The call here is receive the gospel, and as you hear it, know it was your sin that put him on the cross. We contributed to the death of the Savior through giving him receiving all of our sin, guilt, and shame. He took that. So now we look at that sin, we look at that crime that we've committed against the Savior, the Son of God, and we say, I repent of that. I turn from my ways. And we confess, and then we turn. And in so doing, we say, we want to submit to an outward expression of inward faith. So we repent and we're baptized. So real briefly here, next Sunday we're going to celebrate 8 years as a church. And we're going to have fun. We're going to worship the Lord together. But we want to offer an invitation to any of you who this might fit with. The scripture is very clear. Once something has happened in your heart where you've gone from not following the Lord to following the Lord, not following the Lord to repentance and faith in Him alone for salvation, the next step, the next good thing that is instructed through the Word is that you make that profession of faith public for a lot of God-glorifying reasons. And so if you have followed Christ and began following Christ and you have not yet been baptized, next Sunday we would love anyone that has not yet made your faith public through baptism, we would love for you to get baptized next Sunday. So if that's any of you, please see me after the gathering. Paul puts it this way for how powerful the gospel is. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God of salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So here in verse 16 it says, the gospel is so powerful that it has the authority and the means to bring salvation. Through the gospel, God exercises His power to save men and women. God teaches, motivates, and creates salvation in a believer by the power of the gospel. This is how powerful the gospel is. And Peter knew this, that this good news is not a passive force sitting by and waiting for us. No, when we hear it, it is constantly working to fulfill God's purpose. It is available power. The gospel is God's means for bringing us to salvation. Not merely for forgiving our sins. It is not only the announcement of the kingdom of God, but also the process by which we become citizens in this kingdom. And church, this is not on us. This is simply what God has already accomplished. We get to participate in the proclamation of it. Verse 40 says, and with many other words, this is how he ended his sermon, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Church, from that day to now, Jesus is still pulling people off of their boats. Now he's doing it by his followers telling more people about what he has accomplished. It's our words that he uses. We must let the power of the gospel do its work. There's thousands of opportunities that abound. One of the things mentioned with the elder day is we're heartbroken of the fact that most or many of the people in Charlotte or in our neighborhoods, they've never really heard the gospel. They may have heard bits and pieces of the gospel, but they've never heard the work of Christ. So they don't know what they don't believe. That there are many, many of our neighbors who God has sent us to that have simply never heard of this. And God has entrusted it to us. So in closing, I'm going to read three or four helpful ways that we can continue to engage in this game. First is this: keep following Jesus. Keep following Jesus. As we follow Jesus, he trains us. Jesus doesn't tell Simon Peter as soon as he gets off the boat to go be fishers of men. No, it's a process. Read, learn, pray, submit, dig into his word. Keep following Jesus. Jesus is your great schoolmaster. Jesus will teach you how to get the gospel out. Second is this: let the Spirit of God lead you. Let the Spirit of God lead you. So anytime you see someone and you think they need to be loved, they need to be served, they need to hear the good news, that's not your flesh speaking. That's the Spirit of the Lord compelling you to step out in faith. Third is this: some of us need to get off the boat. So there might be things in your life, like we talked about this last week a good bit, but there might be things in your life that are keeping you from your calling. Your calling. And you must be willing to step off your boat, step out in faith. This is not stepping out in faith for something you're about to do. It's stepping out in faith of Jesus. Our faith is not in things. Our faith is in a person. So it's trusting the Lord in such a way where you're willing to step out of what is comfortable, so not to be distracted that you miss your calling. I remember vividly multiple times the Lord calling me to get off the boat. Get off the boat and follow me here. Two more. Find someone that has what you do not have. So if you see, I wish Peter was still alive, where we could all go to Peter and say, okay, so we're just going to follow you around, and you're going to help us. We want to learn these things. So if you see a gospel proclaimer, if you receive the gospel from someone, it's a good thing to go to them and say, I need help here. I want to follow well and proclaim well. Some people are far better at this than we are. We need to practice here. We need, as what I said, we need to get in the car. We need to get the car and feel the steering wheel in our hands. That is how we learn how to drive. And then finally, we must remember the gospel that we proclaim. And the gospel that we remember shows us and tells us the pressure is not on us. Relax. Relax. Your identity, your worth, your value is not in how well you proclaim the gospel. That Christ has given us everything. He declares us valuable. He declares us lovely. That we are not doing this or not doing this because we're trying to win his affection. The gospel tells us we are invited in because we have been freed by him. He did it all. We now get to be the vessels. He's the main actor. We're the supporting background characters. We must remember the gospel that we proclaim. We, like Peter, must first be close to Jesus as we and before we attempt to call others to him. Let's pray. Father, our hearts, where our hearts are not gripped for our neighbors. Would you please lead us properly to the love that you had for us when we were far off. God, give us that love for our neighbors, our friends that are far off. Father, thank you for including us in on this, but also thank you for not making it hinge on us. Thank you for the opportunity and the call, the clarity, and also for the empowerment of the Spirit of God who goes before us and comes with us and comes after us. Thank you for the word that declares that Peter didn't make things happen. He simply proclaimed good news to people that needed to hear it. So God, give our congregation, give us the faith to believe. Give us the boldness. God, we know that that comes through an actual relationship with you, an actual friendship with you, an actual following of you. God, where we are not following you, where we are not following Jesus of Nazareth, get us back online. God, correct our path. We trust you. We love you. Thank you for the great rescue. In Christ's name, amen. Christian, we are going, those who are in Christ, those who have given up on trying to earn God's love and are trusting in Christ alone for salvation, we're going to take a moment and right now together receive communion. So if you are a Christ follower, repentant of sin, trusting in Jesus, you can go ahead and take out the wafer. We do this, Jesus instructed us to do this to remind us constantly of the work that he did. And so in a picture, we are right now, as we watch each other, as we watch each other receive the bread and then the juice, we are gospeling each other. We're reminding each other of what Christ has done. So on the night that he was, on the day of the meal, Jesus took the bread and foretelling the breaking of his body, said, "This is my body that will be broken for you. Do in remembrance of me." And then in fulfilling the Old Testament sacrifice where blood had to be shed for the remission of sins, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "This is my blood that will be poured out for you." If you're here and you have not yet placed your faith in Christ, just as Peter was called off the boat, Jesus extends an invitation to all who will believe to come and follow him. So this morning, if that is you, Jesus continually offers himself to you today. Receive him. Receive him and then let someone know before you leave. If you would stand with me, we're going to respond in singing. Those who have children in the other building, sing a song first and then go get them. All right, let's enjoy and worship our Savior together, and then you can go receive your children. Come back in and worship.
There is a hill I cherish, where stood a precious tree, the emblem of salvation, the gift of Calvary.
How is it?
How is it I should profit while he is crucified? Yet as his life was taken, so I was granted mine. My wealth is in the cross. There's nothing more I want than just to know his love. My heart is set on Christ, and I will count all else as a loss. The greatest of my crowns means nothing to me now, for I counted up the cost, and all my wealth is in the cross. I will not boast in riches. I have no pride in gold, but I will boast in Jesus and in his name alone. My wealth is in the cross. There's nothing more I want than just to know his love. My heart is set on Christ. Count it all as lost. The greatest of my grounds means nothing to me now, for I counted up the cost, and all my wealth is in the cross. All my wealth is in the cross. And when I stand in glory, my crown's before the Lord. Let this be my confession. My wealth is in the cross. And all my wealth is in the cross. There's nothing more I want than just to know his love. My heart is set on Christ. I will count it all as a loss. The greatest of my crowns means nothing to me now, for I counted up the cost, and all my wealth is in the cross. All my wealth is in the cross. Wealth is in the cross. There's nothing more I want than just to know his love. My heart is set on Christ, and I will count it up the loss. The greatest of my crowns means nothing to me now, for I counted up the cost, and all my wealth is in the cross. All my wealth is in the cross. All my wealth is in the cross. That's so true. Let's boast in him this morning. From before the dawn of light, you were everlasting life. As you sang the morning sky, Lord, you knew me. You had seen my true heart, still you reached into the dark. May the blood of sacred scars stir my soul to sing.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Boast in the Lord. He has lifted you out of the grave. My soul boasts in the Lord. By his death, we have died. By his life, we've been lifted on high. My soul boasts in the Lord. In my heart, and in my home. When tomorrow stands unknown, when my soul is wintered stone, Lord, remind me. You are there when seasons change. You are mending all you've made. This my prayer and this my pain, purify me. Oh my soul, oh my soul, oh my soul, boast in the Lord. He has lifted you out of the grave. My soul boast in the Lord. By his death we have died. By his life, we've been lifted on high. My soul boasts in the Lord. When my silver end is near, may my restless heart my body enters rest. Still my soul will resurrect. You have triumphed over death. Glorious victory. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Boast in the Lord. He has lifted you out of the grave. My soul boasts in the Lord. By his death, we have died. By his life, we've been lifted on high. My soul boasts in the Lord. Oh, my soul, oh, my soul.
You guys hear me? Awesome. First, can we go ahead and thank both Matt and Stephen jumping in this week. Short notice, people gone. We appreciate you guys helping us out. So just a few announcements real quick. We hit a couple of them already, but just a reminder. Next week, we are celebrating our anniversary. Woo-woo! Come on, somebody, please, thank you. All right, well, moving on. I'm disappointed and happy at the same time. So next week, please make it a priority to come out. Come here, be here, bring your friends, bring your neighbors, like we were just talking about. We are going to celebrate next week All right, so please prioritize it. We're excited. Also, as a reminder, our Scent Summit got postponed. So new date for the Scent Summit is September 13th. That says August 30th, but that's no longer true. All right, so disregard that piece. Just scratch it out. If you guys saw the other notes, September 13th, we're going to get together 6 to 8 p.m. Independence Hill. If you call church, Scent Church home, or you're interested in calling Scent Church home, we invite you to come on out. This will be right after us having a big celebration. So we'll celebrate Sunday. We'll get together Monday. It'll be wonderful. There will be dinner. There will be childcare. So if you're looking for free food and someone to watch your kids, come on out. Scent Summit. It'll be wonderful. I also want to remind everybody about the women's Bible study. I'm the worst example of someone to come up here and make this announcement, but I will tell you, from someone that's watched many of our women go to these Bible studies, they are awesome. They do a wonderful job. Probably some of the best Bible studies I've seen. These women do an amazing job. Please come on out. If you need to sign up, we sign up through the newsletter or through the app, or raise your hand and someone will form tackle you with a form. We'll figure it out. Just figure out how, and we will sign you up. Starting September 27th, these are Mondays from 6:30 to 8:30. It's awesome. So please, please, please sign up. And just a last reminder, if you have questions about what it means to be a member here, you're curious to learn more about the church, you have prayer requests, we have our digital connect cards that you guys can send on, and we'll follow up with you respectfully with an email. Please feel free. Please feel free to use this way to communicate with us, so we can follow up with you guys in a respectful way. So, if you guys would like to stand, I'm going to send us out. Just before I pray, some of you guys know I've been reading through all of the works of John Newton, and one of the things that really captured my heart today as Stephen was talking and thinking about the gospel that we have is he made this example of that. He feels so often like a poor man that has nothing in his pocket, but yet he knows a rich man that he can call on with infinite wealth. And so he is both a beggar and incredibly rich. And so when we proclaim the gospel, we get to enjoy the depths and riches of God's presence and all that he is, knowing it is nothing of ourselves that we get to offer. So let us be emboldened with all the infinite riches of God to proclaim the gospel this week. Lord, we thank you. We are excited for all that you've done. We pray that this week would be an explosive move of your gospel in the nations, in the city, across our country. Lord, that people would be redeemed and know you. We love you and need you. In your name we pray. Amen. You are sent.
What's up with those weird fees in your takeout? Here's the dish.
Jasmine will make them fabulous.
I'm Jasmine Roth. I can rescue any disaster.